This is Karen Musgrave, and I am doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Eileen Goodrich. Today's date is June 19, 2008. It is now 4:32 in the afternoon. We are in Columbus, Ohio at the National Quilting Association's Quilt Show. And Irene, thank you for doing this interview with me.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And tell me about your quilt, Tutti Frutti.
Well, I have used, I'm going to do some reading from here. I have used all or part of 8 patterns in the construction of this quilt. The top center block, I started doing a Baltimore album quilt. It's from Gina Kimball's Baltimore album book, I believe. And I had that block done for a long time and got sidetracked and didn't get into the Baltimore album quilt. And as I mentioned, I'm trying to downsize and you know, reduce things. And I thought, well, I've got to pick up some of these things that I have started. So I used that as the basis of this quilt. And I dug out all the patterns I could find on the fruit baskets, and I do have a lot of other fruit patterns. And so the 4 corner blocks on each corner are the Rabbit Factory seasonal fruit of spring, summer, fall, and winter. And I started this quilt started this quilt February of 2006 and finished it in January 2007. Construction required 403 hours and the quilting 308 hours for a total of 711 hours. And I basically built the quilt as I went along. I started with the center portion and the 4 corner blocks, I mentioned that. The center block on point is winter basket from Baskets, Fruit and Flowers by Tony Phillips and Juanita Simonovich from Fabric Expressions. The 4 corners around the center block are enlarged designs from Gathering Baskets by Cindy Blackberg and Murray Sorensen, published in the April 2001 magazine of Better Homes and Gardens. The 4 borders around the center are the Pineapple Passion Block from Robert Callahan's Floral Garden in the February 2004 McCall's Quilting Magazine. The top center basket is block number 10 from Gina Kimball's Reflections of Baltimore book. The bottom center basket is Serum Fruit Bowl by Polly Whitethorn, and the pattern is in Better Homes and Gardens. Great applique, wonderful small quilts book. The 4 berry and cherry blocks on the corners of center portion and the banana, pomegranate, kumquat, and damson plum blocks are from the Horn of Plenty book by Kathy Delaney. The grapevine border is a Nancy Pearson pattern. And did I mention that I had used the, I mentioned that I had used 8 patterns, all parts of the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the story of the blocks. Now, well, there's something else I
think. So do you work on one quilt at a time, or do you work on
all of them? No, I have probably a dozen things in progress at once. If I get bored with one, I can go to another. What I mentioned in the earlier interview that I try to quilt 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And the reason I do that, this finger that I put underneath the quilt gets sore, so it has to have a day to heal. And sometimes on the odd days like Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, when I get chores done, then I'll have to start cut out some applique pieces for another project, or maybe I'll have to bind a piece that's laying aside to be bound, or other phase of a quilt that has to be done.
Now, did you plan this quilt out? Did you decide what blocks before you started? Or?
No, I built the quilt as I went along. I did that center one on point, and then I figured out what I had to do to get it square again. So, therefore, those 3 little corners with from baskets, fruits, and flowers. Then I decided I needed the border around that, so that's when I dug out the Robert Callahan's pineapple and put that around. And then I knew I was going to put the four seasons on the corners, and I see what did I fill in with. Oh, and I filled in with the other patterns from the Kathy Delaney book. And then I had to do something with two odd sides, so I thought, well, Nancy Pearson's Grapevine, which is still fruity, will complete that. And then I bound it in red. I thought that would frame it somewhat, and then that finished the quilt. And my friend Sharla saw the quilt, the center part of it, when I was just starting to construct it. She says, well, I have dibs on the quilt. I said, well, you better wait and see what happens to the thing. You might not like it. But I think she loves it.
You going to give it to her?
No, I'm not going to give it to her. She's going to pay me for it. I'm a senior citizen on Social Security, and so this is my way of making some extra money. You know, it's tough. But, of course, I lost income when my husband died, you know, so it's a little bit tough, you know, what you have to pay today to keep yourself going. And I'm in my own home, three bedrooms upstairs and living room, kitchen, dining room downstairs, basement, and lawn to take care of. And so you need extra money, and so that's my way of earning something extra.
So doesn't it... You're okay with selling your quilts and giving them away? It's not difficult?
Not really. I feel very sad when the piece leaves the house. But all of my 19 nieces and nephews and my seven brothers and sisters and my parents all got a quilt. Some of them have two now. They got two quilts. And so that took a lot of quilts out of the house. And then my last four bed-sized quilts, outside of the present one that no one has seen that I'm going to put in the state fair in August, have been sold. When my husband became ill, I still had several nieces and nephews that hadn't gotten a quilt, so I called them in and let them choose. I must have had 30 or 40 quilts stacked up on a bed, so I let them choose. And that depleted my supply because I'm called on, when they called on me here in 05 to do the trunk show, I had to borrow quilts. I had my sister in Maryland to come in with several pieces she had, and then her daughter from Washington, D.C. came in with several pieces she had, and my sister Ruth, and now I have a sister in Westerville. They all let me have pieces that they have so that I would have enough. So I would have enough, you know, to do the trunk show. And so I'm trying to build my quilt supply back up because I don't know when when someone will call me, you know, to do another show. Now, what do we do now?
Can you make your way to the light?
Yes.
Wow.
I hope the electricity didn't go out.
No, it doesn't. Well, I don't think so. Well, it went back on.
Oh, there it is.
Well, we had a little technical difficulty. Well, that will be in this interview. We were sitting in the dark for a while. That was very strange.
Yes, you can cut that.
We can.
The last part out. And let's see, where were we?
The trunk show.
Yes, I was telling about trying to build my supply of quilts back up. I have plenty of wall hangings, although you can replace the wall hangings a lot faster, and I'm constantly making those. I can turn 2-3 wall hangings a year out. So for my fair in August, I have one bed-sized quilt and three wall hangings and a crib quilt and a table runner. So even though they are buying the wall hangings, I can replace those easy. It's not quite so easy because it takes longer to do a large bed-sized quilt. But if someone calls on me again to do a major quilt show, I want to have the supply, you understand.
Now, tell me about how you decided how to quilt your Tutti Frutti.
Well, my rule sort of is, well, not really my rule, but the applique is rather elaborate on there, so I just use cross-hatching on that. But also, I do love to use designs in a solid. To me, a quilting design is lost on a print fabric, but when you have a solid, I do like to. And then sometimes if I'm in a hurry, the cross-hatching is the fastest way to get the job done.
And you hand-quilt all of your quilts?
So far, yes. I hand-quilt them all. Mm-hmm. the son, as I said earlier, made the remark that hand quilting is going out of style. And as you notice, a lot of them are being machine quilted. But I really don't like to see a handmade applique quilt machine quilted. I truly don't. So I said, as long as I'm alive, and another friend I spoke with made the same remark, as long as we're alive, there will be hand quilting on our quilts.
Do you sleep under a quilt?
Yes.
Tell me about the quilt you sleep under.
Well, it's a cross stitch. A friend that I used to work with had a neighbor that had quilt tops, and she wanted to unload them, so she sold me this cross stitch top for $5, and I quilted it, and that's the one I sleep under. And my guest, Charlotte here, is sleeping under a Lone Star, or is it Bethlehem? They're both similar,
mm-hmm.
which was a Martha, or Aunt Martha kit that was a present to me from my mother, I believe. It's the rainbow and rainbow kind uh-huh. of one. And so she's sleeping under that.
So when did you make that one?
Oh, my. Probably in the 70s. I started in 1968 to seriously quilt. So I probably made it in the 70s because I don't have all the dates in my head now.
I don't have dates in my head most of the time, mm-hmm. so I think you mm-hmm. do wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
How many quilts do you think you've made? Do you know?
I believe the quilt I'm putting in the fair is, it might be 91. I headed for 83. I just had my 82nd birthday, and I would like to at least do 100, and I might go over that. And so I believe it's 91. And wall hangings, I've made over 100 wall hangings, and miniatures is in around 40 sometime because I separate each of the three.
So tell me about making miniatures. How did you start making miniatures?
Well, when NQA started having the mini auctions, I don't think I got in. Do you know how many years they've been doing it? My donation this year is my 17th donation running. I think I missed at least the first year or maybe the second year. And so I just got interested in supporting. I've been a good supporter of NQA from the very start and do all I can to help them. And so I just like, and it's so much fun. For instance, the Silver Jubilee one in Charleston, West Virginia, well, my little, it was four little houses, and the, I met her here and she gave me a hug. The head lady of the, her name was it Sherry? Is it, her last name's Tate. What's her first name? But anyhow, she wanted it, and it was a house built, little houses, and so it won viewer's choice. I didn't know that they was voting on it. It won viewer's choice, it was the Silver Jubilee, and so they were doing these silver thimbles, so I got a free $35 silver thimble for my prize. And got my picture on, or got my quilt pictured on the front of the newspaper in color, which I have a copy of. And I believe her name's Sharon. Sharon wanted she was bidding on it, and people were bidding against her because it was very popular. But when it got up past 200, she looked at her husband, he nodded okay for her to go ahead. It went for $300. But the thing of it was, when the auctioneer got up front, he said, now this quilt is very popular. He said it was viewer's choice. And he said, we're starting the bidding on this at $100. And I think I made a few enemies. I think I did. But it's so thrilling. I just love those auctions and the auctioneers. And when they, you know, get up and start to get the bidding going, and then it's so interesting when one will put their card up and the next one will put their card up, and there will be a little feud between a couple sometime.
Well, I bet you're happy that the show is staying in Columbus now.
Yes, I hope it stays here forever.
I thought it was supposed to.
Well, all I know is that it's going to be here the next 2 years. Uh-huh. So I hope it stays here, because if it goes out somewhere, I'll not be able to attend. I just can't travel anymore.
Now, how many of the shows have you been to?
In the beginning, I think the photo I showed you is 78 in Georgetown. I have it on the back of that photo that it's my first one. But
okay.
I attended two or three, I think, Greenbelt, Maryland, and then maybe I went to Georgetown twice. I think they had it twice. there twice in a row. And then the first one they moved out was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and myself and the do you know Marguerite Lee Bush? Well, she's one of your earlier, and she has a low number in NQA, and I met her a long time ago. And Marguerite and her husband Richard and me and my husband Albert, we were foursome at all these shows. We would go in on earlier shows, and when they were hung, the powers that be would let us go in the night before and do our photography. They were the three of them, Marguerite and Richard, my husband, were photographers. They'd let us go in and make our. So I have a house full of NQA slides, and so originals. He was a good photographer.
Now, what is going to happen to those?
Well, I don't know. I may not be at liberty to say right now that something had that I had done. I'll just hold it for right now, but I don't know. But I want them to go somewhere.
That's a great resource. That should not be lost.
And I don't want them to be lost. There's hundreds of dollars tied up in those things. But anyway, and I say I'm losing my train of thought. I had another thought here. What was it? Oh, they would let us go in and do our photography. And once in the D.C. area, it was in a schoolhouse, and there was going to be some janitors in doing work after hours. And so, oh, my goodness. Shall I keep talking?
Yes, keep talking.
So one of the ladies in charge engaged my husband and I to babysit those quilts until the janitors left. So the show closed about probably 6 o'clock, and we were there at almost midnight babysitting those quilts. And she had gone out to get something to eat. So she came back about 11:30 to make sure the janitors were gone and everything was locked up. And we had the best time, my husband and I. We was there with all these quilts, guarding them. And I was stitching Lancaster County Rose. Do you know the story of Catherine Eshelman that was a president of NQA in the past? And she designed this. She was from Pennsylvania, and she designed this rose pattern called Lancaster County Rose. And we had a contest, and I think only about 4 or 5 of them ended up in one of the shows, but I got a second-place ribbon on mine. And let's see, the Lancaster County Rose, I think, is that the one that they bought at AQS? I believe that's the one AQS bought in the museum, and they had it a couple years before they got the museum built, I believe. But anyhow, Catherine designed the pattern. We had the contest, and I was applicating it then. So I just sat and applicated on that while we were guarding the quilts.
That sounds like fun.
No, it was. Uh-huh. But anyhow, we hadn't been there too long, and one of the janitors came over, and he said, "You people can leave if you want to." He said, "You don't have to stay here." And we said, "No, sorry. We have been told to stay right here. We can leave." We weren't about to leave. So anyhow, that's that story.
Is there anything else you want to share about NQA?
Well, I'm glad to see that it's constantly growing all the time. Yes,
it's the biggest show ever.
The beginnings, yes. Absolutely, yes.
What's your favorite part of the show?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The banquets and the show, meeting all my friends. I have lots of friends. I have people that they'll come by and say, "Hi, Irene." I have the faintest idea who they are. Not the faintest. It's happened out this year, hasn't it? I said to her this afternoon, someone said, "Well, hello, Irene, how are you?" And when we passed her, I said, "I don't have the faintest clue who that is. I don't." Because I've been written up in magazines and books, and I'm on PBS TV and magazines.
Tell me about PBS TV.
It was in connection with our research project. They interviewed myself and another lady who is now deceased. Poor thing. She died with cancer in her 40s. And they interviewed both of us in color. And every time we turned on PBS, well, people would see us on there doing our bit. Of course, that was a long time ago, probably late 80s, I imagine.
And what were you documenting?
I don't recall what all it was about. They came to my house to do the photography, and we put a quilt on a stand in my front room, and they photographed me in front of the quilt. I don't remember all the dialogue or anything. And I don't know where they interviewed Elle, and I don't know if they went to her home or what, but anyhow. And then another time, we have a, C&Q has a show at Inniswood Gardens, one of our city parks at Westerville, Ohio, and a couple of years back, where the publicity came in, and I had a flower applique there at the time, and so they zeroed in close up on that quilt, and that was on TV in color.
So you've had a lot of adventures.
I guess I should have kept a log. I really should have kept a journal. I'm sorry that I didn't.
Well, what advice would you give to someone starting out in quilt making?
Stick with it. A lot of beginning quilters become discouraged because they don't, especially if they do quilting stitches, and they don't do the tiny quilting stitches, or they'll pick a pattern that's too complicated. They should start out maybe with a pot holder or a pillow with a small design. If they're doing applique, a sunbonnet girl's good for a larger or large flower, and work up to it. And I was on number quilt 22 before, I'm a self-taught quilter, I was on quilt number 22 before I felt like I was doing a stitch that I was pleased with. And of course, the more you do, the more you improve. And I have a motto, I will not sacrifice good workmanship for speed.
It's a good motto. Now, do you use do you use a thimble?
I certainly do.
What kind of thimble do you have?
I have about 3 or 4 dozen with holes in them. I'm going to make my last wall hanging if I don't die and hang all those thimbles on it. I got to think of a good title. But my mother had this brass thimble. If you can get brass ones, they last longer, but I'm hard on them. I poke holes in them. And the first time I poke a hole, I used to get a hole in the finger. But I use different ones, different types of thimbles. I have several different varieties. I have a leather one, which I didn't care for, and I don't use it. And I try to cover this finger, but I have to have that bare finger under there.
Me too.
I have to have the bare finger under there.
Yeah, I can understand the having to rest them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Gets quite sore. Well, most people get calluses. Do you see any callus there? Mm. I can't keep a callus. I met some lady somewhere and talking about quilting. I might have been. I've done a lot of demonstrating at different things. Oh, one time in Columbus, I loaned all my quilts to a charity that for children. They raised funds for children. And we had this armory on in West Columbus. I forget what street it's on. It might be Route 161. And they had a balcony, a real high balcony in the armory. And I think I loaned them 20-some quilts. And they hung all those quilts around the balcony. I did it free. They raised funds for the children's, for the children. I can't think of the name of it. Anyhow, we have baggies all over Columbus that they put the grocery ads in, and so my name was on all the plastic bags in connection with this show. But anyhow, somewhere, some lady knew I was a quilter and talking to me, and she says, well, let me see your fingers. And she looked at my fingers, and I didn't appreciate her or her remark. And she looked at me, and she said, you're no quilter. I didn't argue with her. And then at this armory, well, there was a, I got so tickled at the lady that invited me to put the quilts in. And she was walking around behind these two old ladies, and they had big cards on the quilt of the years that I had made it. And I'm a constant quilter, and I'd have a quilt here for 1970, and over here, and there was 1971, and there was 1972, and the ladies were discussing the quilts. They said, there's no way this woman could make a quilt a year. And so this lady came to me. I was, what was her name? I don't remember now. And she was telling me that. I said, I wish you'd come and gotten me and let me talk to him. I've had a lot of fun experiences. Oh, my best win. I've won lots of prizes, and I've probably won around 275 ribbons. I've won everything but Murray Creek Bomb, and to my astonishment, last couple of years, I was looking at my critique sheets, and it said up in the corner, considered for the Murray Creek Bomb ribbon. I said, oh, my goodness. Of course, I didn't win it. But I've won best workmanship, best quilt stitchings, best theme quilt, best basket quilt, best of show quilts. I have tons of Mountain Mist ribbons. You know, they always awarded the ribbon to best of show. And I hardly ever had to buy a bat. I got free bats all the time. And let's see what else.
What do you do with your ribbons?
I have them in a big box. And they need to be pressed. Well, now lately I've been giving some of them away. I made a quilt for my youngest sister. She collects owls. I made her an owl quilt. She lives on the West Coast. And so I gave her, I think, three ribbons. And there was supposed to be a fourth one, which I never got. And I think she framed them. And then my sister Ruth back here, one of her daughters-in-law that lives in Kentucky, she's crazy about birds. I do a lot of bird quilts. And so the bird quilt won about 6 or 7 ribbons, and I gave them all to her. And I don't know. Do you know, did she hang the ribbons with the quilt or anything? You know, Ruth? Did Pam hang the ribbons on the bird quilt?
I think they're framed.
Are they framed? Well, she probably framed them, but she had 7 or 8, I think. 7 or 8 ribbons. Could be.
Great. That's wonderful.
See, if I had kept a journal, I'd have all this stuff in chronological order, but I'm beginning to lose my memory somewhat. For instance, like just now, I couldn't think of some names I wanted to think of. They're not there.
I'm younger, and it's
one of my best friends said, I don't have Alzheimer's, I just have Alzheimer's. That's me.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you for doing the second interview with me.
Well, thank all of you who had something. I think Janet was behind.
Janet, well, we were very interested in getting some of the histories of NQA because they aren't anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working 2 years to get Janet to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have I probably in your archives you have a copy of from the very beginning of all the newsletters that you can refer to, but the very beginning ones are very enlightening for anyone that wants to get filled in on some things that went on. And I gave the early ones to Janet. I'm trying to unload things, and so I hope she still has them. And they finally went to color. I gave her all the black and whites from 72, and I'm not sure how many years it was black and white, and they started, you know, doing some color on the front, and now they're doing color, I guess, throughout the magazine, which I'm glad. It's sort of tough to see a quilt in black and white.
They're so much better in color. Well, they're so much better in person than in the picture, too.
But they have a ton of stuff, I'm sure, in their office, in the archives.
It's time to get it shared with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think since we're in the dark again, we'll go ahead and conclude this interview. And unfortunately, since I can't see my watch, we won't know what time. But thank you so much for doing this interview with
me.
Well,
thank you, and I hope I wasn't a complete
disappointment. Oh, no, you were fabulous.